Hi, everybody. This is Matt from Japan 2.0, and I'm just letting you know that we have the bag of shame, and we're starting to find items to put into our bag of shame, and you yourself can win a bag of shame. Actually, it's not a bag of shame. It's just a gift package that we are giving away for our 100th episode of our podcast. If you want the bag of shame, what you're going to have to do is send us an audio or text file to japan2.0@gmail.com and tell us a little bit about one of your favorite trips to Japan or things that you've done in Japan or people you've met in Japan or places you've eaten. It really could be a story about anything Japanese related. You don't even have to have ever come to Japan. It just has to be about something you really love about Japan. And we're going to choose our favorite audio and text submissions, and we're going to read them and play them on our 100th episode. If you want to be a part of this and you want to win some cool stuff, please send everything to japan2.0. That's spell out point and a zero at the end at gmail.com, and you will be included in our contest. Now on to the episode.
On this episode of Japan 2.0.
Korea has a fast change. You know, the cycle of change is like really
existed
quick.
Existed since 2016. Yeah. They're proud, you know, that you'll see signs and say that, honestly.
True. It's true. You do see signs like that on the walls. And if something has lasted 5 or 6 years, it is pretty impressive. It's a big deal, yeah. Hello, and welcome to Japan 2.0, your podcast about Japan and our exciting lives here living in Japan.
Everything you should know about Japan, but probably don't. I think that's our tagline, something like that.
Or we stole that tagline from another podcast, I'm sure.
No, I can't. That.
Is that what you came up with?
Okay. I swear. So good, you thought. Yep, we're here to kind of just give an update on some things that have been going on lately in our lives and things we've talked about before in the podcast and, like, yeah, going back to some of that material.
Yeah, I'm Matt.
This is David. And you recently took a trip to Korea. I took one a couple months ago and gave an update from my perspective. So we'll kind of get your perspective on this one. It's your first time. We lived in Korea for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Pretty much at the same time. A little bit of time I was gone and you were there.
That's where we met. That's where we first started podcasting. I mean, you know, there's a lot of history with Korea and myself, you know. I mean, I proposed to my wife, you know, there. And
so I met my wife in Korea.
So it's a very special place to me, you know, I haven't been back in, it was 6 years.
Yeah, that's insane.
It was a really long time, yeah.
In case you don't know, like, Korea and Japan, you know, are very close to each other. There's a lot of similarities, a lot of differences too. But I think our podcast definitely is impacted by our time in Korea, and we use it as a point of reference a lot. We're often, obviously we're American, that's a big point of reference comparing to what we're used to, but because we lived in Asia, you know, Japan's in Asia, I think we use Korea as like a reference point in Asia a lot. And obviously Asia is a massive place, so there's a lot of other Asian culture, but definitely Korea is what's like strongest on our mind. So yeah, it's always important for us to kind of say how the two countries are related, I think.
Yeah. I think they're similar in a lot of ways. And I know that some people might take offense to that statement, right? Because I do think that, you know, they both have very distinct cultures, but in a lot of ways, when you're in the suburbs or you're in the big city, you're going to see some similarities. And but, you know, the differences are definitely there. And today, I guess I'll talk about some of the things that I saw that were different from when I was last there.
So you took a really unique trip to Korea. Everyone else we know, and myself included, we spend all of our time or almost all of our time in Seoul. I think it's really unique that you kind of went back to our like suburban kind of living area, Bundang.
Yeah. So
stay there. So that's a totally different experience, like staying in the suburbs on a vacation, you know?
Yeah, there. I mean, I've been wanting to go back for a number of years, and I really wanted to visit my old stomping grounds, and that was one of the main reasons why I wanted to go. It's just that, you know, I wanted to visit some people that I know that I haven't seen in a long time. And they're still in Bundang, the Bundang area, or they're in Seoul. Yeah, some of them in Seoul. Yeah, kicking it in Bundang. Mm-hmm. The other title, probably the better title for our now defunct podcast about Korea. Mm. But yeah, it was just, Seoul seemed like a lot of fun. Like, I'm sure I would have had a great time. I would have eaten well. You know, I would have gotten to see like the city life and the music and stuff like that. But to be honest, I really just wanted a break. You know, I get that stuff in Japan. If I want to see music, you know, I could pretty much go to, you know, my neighborhood, you know, and go to Shinsaibashi in Osaka and have music and stuff.
Yeah. One of my best friends, AJ from Seoul, from Hongdae. Yeah, he comes here. We live in like a kind of a smaller suburb of Kobe. And I'm always like, let's go to Osaka. Let's go to Kyoto. I got to show you all this cool stuff. And yeah, he says the same thing. Just nah, like I love it here. I like the mountains and I guess people who live in the city sometimes on vacation, they want more city, you know?
Yeah. And that being said, I was still in the city. I was in the suburbs of Seoul, so it's still pretty big, you know, but it gave my wife and I a chance to go to all the places that we used to hang out at, go to the cafes we like, go to the restaurants we like and eat all the Korean food that we wanted to eat. Mm. And I'm a bigger fan of Korean food than you are.
For sure, yeah.
And so it was really important that I got certain dishes that I know you could get some of these items in Japan, but it just doesn't taste the same as it does in Korea.
So I'll ask you, one of the craziest things about Korea is like, yeah, it's been 6 years since you've been there.
Right.
And you'll think, oh, I remember there was this galbi place I liked or this place I like. And you know where it is, right? It's on this corner, on this street. But I found, at least in Seoul, and I was wondering how much this is Seoul versus like a smaller area. In Seoul, about 85% of that stuff is gone. So even as it was crowded all the time 5-6 years ago, and it's just completely gone in some other shop now. But then you'll go down the street a little bit more and find something kind of similar. Did you find that like your favorite places were still there, or were most of them gone? You had to move on and find new things?
I mean, that was one of the biggest reasons to go, is just to see how things have changed, because Korea has a fast change. You know, the cycle of change is like really
existed
quick.
Since 2016. Yeah. They're proud, you know, that you'll see signs and say that, honestly.
Yeah, it's true. You do see signs like that on the walls. And if something has lasted 5 or 6 years, it's pretty impressive.
Big deal, yeah.
But to be honest, I noticed that things hadn't changed that much in Bundang. Yeah, in the suburbs. I used to live in a place called Sujigu, and Suji is like a, it's a little bit further. It's almost towards Suwon, which is another big city. And they had just put in the metro, the subway line that goes to Suji. And while I was living there, you know, I would say, oh man, when the line opens up, it's going to be so awesome. We could get into Seoul in like 45 minutes. Yeah. It's going to be so cool. And it never opened. So this was the first time I got to ride on that line. So we took that line out to Suji and we came out of the station and nothing had changed. So like I was surprised, like our favorite restaurants in Suji, Suji is just a tiny, tiny town. It's not big at all.
Were you staying in Jukjeon or Jeongja?
Yeah, we were staying in Jeongja. Yeah, which is where some of our friends have lived previously. And so we're familiar with that area. There are a lot of good restaurants, although I don't think we ate there. Only breakfast. We didn't eat any meals in the neighborhood we were staying in. We were out every day. But it was a perfect place to stay and
just Cafe Street still there?
Relax. Cafe Street's going strong.
Still like fancy high-end.
Well, I will say Jeongja has changed a lot. There are a lot of craft beer bars everywhere. So there's I was surprised by that, because craft beer was kind of coming up when we were living there. And I mean, 6 years ago, that was all in HBC.
You had to go into like the Western
Itaewon. And that's where the craft beer was. And now there's craft beer places everywhere.
Oh, that's cool.
Another thing I noticed that was a little bit different was there's a lot more Halloween love. So I went around Halloween. Yeah. I was there Halloween weekend, or the Halloween week. And people were really in the spirit. There was a lot of decorations on buildings. And
did you see anyone dressed up at all?
Yeah, we did. When we went to Jukjeon, they have an annual trick-or-treating event. And that's a place where things have changed too, because the trick-or-treating event in the past was like eight families like walking down the cafe area. Mm-hmm. And then now there was like a huge crowd of people.
So I thought it was maybe Japan only that it was getting bigger, but maybe it's just Asia in general.
Yeah. No, definitely for kids. It was one of the biggest parties that I've seen in Korea. That whole street was like packed with people.
So did it feel similar to Japan, would you say, in the way they do Halloween? Or is it bigger in Korea than Japan? Or?
I would say similar. It seems like, you know, they take their children to the different shops, and the different shops will give out candy, right? Okay. Where in Japan, sometimes you could go to a department store with your kid dressed up, and then you take them around the department store, and all the different shops there, departments will give you candy.
Our local station here is doing that stuff too.
Yeah. So there's some events out where they're organized by foreigners here in Japan.
Yeah.
But I think most of it is still like department stores. Mm-hmm. So it's not quite, I mean, Halloween is big in Tokyo.
Yes.
And probably big in Namba in Osaka.
Yeah.
But
every year it's growing still.
Yeah, it is growing. Yeah, it's becoming a lot more popular. You'll see a lot of Jokers this year.
I saw so many.
Everybody was a Joker, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. But you said stuff was there. So, like, what were particular places you wanted to go back to that were still
I mean, you just got to have Kimbap Nara, which is, like, the cheapest cheapest
like Korean food place.
The same places were still there.
Did you recognize any of the people working at any of the places?
I didn't recognize anybody in particular, but it seemed like people that were veterans, you know, especially Kimbap Nara. Yeah. We went to
explain what Kimbap.
Kimbap Nara is basically like kimbap. Kimbap is like sushi rolls sliced, but it has ham. It sometimes has cheese. Sometimes has tuna.
It's about $3. It's much cheaper.
Yeah, it's much
very
cheaper.
Substantial. I always call it the Korean sandwich because it's wrapped in foil, aluminum foil. And it's something you can just take on the go easily. You know, it has vegetables in it, carbs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just you take it on the go. If you're going to go hiking, you grab a kimbap. You bust it out of the tinfoil. The tinfoil's falling and little spirals everywhere. I ate, do you get chomchi, the tuna?
No, because they put the one thing I don't eat, which is sesame leaves.
In Japan, we can call shiso leaf, and the Korean equivalent is getnip. And Matt and I both like shiso, right?
Yeah, shiso's okay. I can eat it.
We really don't like getnip. Matt hates
getnip. Cannot eat. Yeah, so I won't eat that stuff. But yeah, we went there because they also do like a lot of like home cooking. Like they do stews and things like that.
Equivalent. Everything's like $6 or under. It's fast. They're 24 hours. And every like little area has one on the corner, you know?
They have like in Japan we have tonkatsu, and then they have donkatsu, which is basically like a fried pork cutlet.
This place has got like 20. It's got like every classic Korean dish. Yeah, it's got them all, you know.
Yeah.
It's like in Japan, you go to a specific donkatsu restaurant, and that's all they have.
Mm-hmm.
You go to this kind of restaurant. We don't have like a place that just is like the all-stars of Japanese cuisine for under $6, you know?
Yeah, it's fast food. There's fast no frills. The ladies just come in, and they look grumpy, and they just drop a bowl. TV's TV on in the corner.
It's real local, real... It's awesome.
Yeah, so I had to go to those places. They're the same. You know, I saw a bunch of the ones that I used to go to all the time, but we only had so much time. We only ate at one.
My big story about there was like, yeah, they were pretty accessible and good, and that's a good way to learn about Korean food. So when I went, there's about 25 things. They give you this little paper menu, and you write like a little tally mark next to what you want.
Yeah.
But I couldn't read anything.
Some places have that.
Yeah, that's kind of the old school way. So when I went, I just was like, all right, I'm going to start at the top left and go down, and I go over the top right and go down, and I'll write my little translation in English next to them, and I keep the menu. Usually you give it to them, but I would have to ask, like, oh, yeah, can I have it back, please? Which is a weird thing anyway. But yeah, once I got about like 7 or 8 on there, you know, I brought it in. The same people, they always saw me. Just when it was filled up enough, I hit a certain threshold where they just thought it was hilarious. And they were like running to the shops across the street. They get people to like show them, and they'd call them in and point at me and just be like laughing. And they're loving it. And then it caused such a hoopla one time that like a person who was eating there, like a patron, was like, do you want me to like, I can translate the rest of that for you. So you don't, which was awesome because you get some things like, you know, fish head stew. I'm just like, oh God. All right. X on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, fish I'm not going to eat this one next. Yeah.
So this, this guy, yeah, just sat down and translated the whole menu to me, which was amazing. Wow, amazing. That's really cool. Yeah. I wish I kept that thing. It was like so tattered and like, it was almost like tissue paper.
That'd be awesome to have. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, those places are great.
Yeah, we can still read. I remember, like, you know, the alphabet, the Korean alphabet is still pretty easy.
I can almost read more there than I can here because it's so easy, so straightforward once you learn it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It starts coming back to you.
How'd you find the English level was there? Is it kind of what you remember?
Yeah, better, it's high. Yeah, yeah. So people are more willing to teach, to speak English with you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you know, I would just try to, like, buy something and they would just start speaking to me in English, you know, even if I said annyeonghaseyo, you know, if I tried to speak with them and just like greetings and stuff, because I can't go much further than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seemed like people were, English is slowly becoming like a first language in that country, man.
The communities have gotten better there, right? You notice that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're not at all as good as Japan, but like it's getting closer.
Almost
Japan.
Everything has an English label on it. Like I noticed, but
like the stuff that's in there, I found like this craft beer in the convenience store.
Oh yeah,
they have some prepared meals now.
Mm-hmm. Bento.
There's more bento like stuff in there.
I don't know if they call it bento. Probably not. Like, probably have a different name. But
prepared foods. Did you go grocery shopping?
Yeah, E-Mart? I went to a market, and here's another
like a proper place. E-Mart, like a small local.
Yes, I went to E-Mart.
Was your mind blown? Yes. For me, it's mind-blowing.
Well, I was impressed by their electronics store that they opened up. They've opened up these big electronics stores, and they had a lot of neat gizmos and speakers and stuff that were kind of cool. Mm. And then I also went down to the market, and the markets were pretty amazing. They had a lot of different types of food. In the produce section, it was avocados. Really impressive, where they had avocados, coconut, beets, you know, every single spice, you know, an herb you could imagine. Like, you know, I saw dill, thyme, you know, like fresh, all fresh and packaged.
Prepared meats really nice now too.
Prepared salads were incredible. Mm-hmm, like stuff you can't get in Japan. Japan just
so not only is it better than here in that way, but like when we were living there, my big complaint about Korea was like there's just no prepared foods. You got to make everything from scratch.
Yeah, there was hardly any variety.
Like legit, there's no frozen microwavable meals. And Japan has a lot of that stuff, but it's good, but it's not like healthy. Right, yeah. I felt like Korea was kind of taking that Whole Foods-y kind of approach back home, like the premier grocery store. And these are just the regular, you know, the Myers, the Kroger's, the Ralph's of Korea.
Yeah.
So
I did think that they were very expensive. So I do think things have gone up in price quite a bit.
Right? Yeah. Because I was going there thinking I'm having this cheap vacation. Everything's gonna be half price of Japan. No, like it was almost just as expensive. Alcohol is still way cheaper there if you drink out of a bar or something like that.
Yeah,
you know, that's half price of Japan. But yeah, especially if you eat Western food or anything there, the Western food
really went up really in price. Expensive. Yeah, we went to a place called, in every neighborhood there's a place called Paris Baguette, and it's like this place where you could just buy like pastries and coffee and stuff like that.
There's Tour de Jour and Paris Baguette. Yeah. Those are like the rivals.
Yeah. But they have a step up, which is called Paris Croissant. It's like the same company, I believe, but they're just slightly nicer.
It has like a little restaurant inside you can eat at.
So my wife and I ate there, and it ended up coming to about 50 US dollars to eat there. And all we had was just like a little plate with a small salad, an egg, a piece of sausage, and some potatoes. And that was
told me that was mind-blowing. I remember eating there before. Again, so I lived there like 8 years ago. I remember eating there for one person. You get that and a coffee for maybe $8 or $9. So two people would be 20.
Yeah.
So I can't. Yeah, can't get that out of my mind. And you weren't even in Seoul, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't in Seoul.
Yeah. And anytime we ate out at like a, you know, kind of a nicer restaurant, we spent a lot of money, you know, and snacks and coffee were really expensive. Mm-hmm. And another thing, and I think this was the same way, and maybe I had just forgotten, but you can't get drip coffee anywhere. Like there is no drip coffee in Seoul, and outside of Seoul, probably
Americano.
It's Americano everywhere, and Americano
there,
is fine.
If you say like one coffee juice, it's Americano.
Yeah, and they kept correcting me. They were like, "No, we don't have it." They have it on the menu. A lot of places had like coffee on the menu, and I said, "Can I get a coffee, please?" And they said, "We have Americano." And I was like, "Okay, Americano, it is, I guess." You know. But I couldn't get a drip coffee to save my life, which is kind of a bummer because I love drip coffee.
If you go to like a nice cafe, they'll pour over. But
yeah, but I mean, I guess just out and about, you know, mm-hmm. grabbing a coffee, you know, you're probably going to grab an Americano.
Did you only go to Seoul once?
I went to Seoul once.
What neighborhood did you go to?
I ended up going to, it was actually pretty cool. We went to Lotte World. So I know somebody that works at Lotte World, and they got us in as in for free.
Uh-huh.
And so we got to go on a couple of the rides, which we thought were pretty, well, a lot more quality than we remembered. I don't know if they've renovated a little bit. But
is that the one that was in Suji? I don't
know. No, Lotte World is in Seoul. Okay. Yeah.
What's the one in Suji called? Yongsanland?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever been to the one in Suji. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
But anyways, it was amusement park. That part was not as interesting as leaving the amusement park and going outside to the... I mean, the amusement park's fun. I enjoy amusement parks, but I don't like lines and stuff. Mm. They had a Halloween event going on, and they did decorate the place really, really well for Halloween. And everybody was getting their makeup done. They have all these stands of Korean makeup artists, and they do give you scars and paint you like a Joker or Harley Quinn or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a lot of fun, and that was a lot of, it looked really cool for young couples and stuff like that. But as I get older, I have less patience for, you know, like crowds and stuff.
Sure.
So we decided to leave and check out Lotte department store, and that's an amazing mall. That's a really nice mall.
What area was it? The south of the river?
Gangnam? No, that's like it's a little bit north. It took us a really long time to get there, and I'm not exactly sure which city it is. I've forgotten, but that whole building, there's a Lotte Tower. It's a really impressive building, like really amazing, and they had fluorescent lights everywhere. But Korea had a thing where the architecture, they would try big things with the architecture, but sometimes it would come off looking like tacky.
Gaudy, yeah.
Yeah, or gaudy. And in this case, it just looks incredible. Like, I mean, it's a marvel of architecture. It was the kind of thing where Emily and I just looked up and it was amazing. Like, we were both kind of like standing in awe. It's such a cool area. And they had a river. Yeah, I have photos, so I'll show you those, and I'll post a couple on when I release this episode. But they had this art installation on the river, and it was all these cool, they looked like the little vinyl statues that you'd buy with little characters, little Pokemon kind of looking characters. And they were just floating on the river. They had fans in them, and they blew them up, and they were just like on the river floating. It was really, really cool. Not tacky at all, just like a really cool area. And it was very impressive. So in that inspired me to like want to go back to check out Seoul next time. So next
time
I go back.
Did you plan to like not go to Hongdae at all? Like, we knew before, like, I'm not going to go there?
Yeah, yeah. We had 5 days, and we made a plan of like what we were going to do. We went to Hongdae for dinner that night. And we met some of our other friends, and we had a little reunion, ate chicken, you know, it was great. But we just went to like a chicken chain. It wasn't like a small place. And it was just by the university. So
that side.
Hongik University. Yeah. So we didn't have a lot of chance to, you know, check out the neighborhood. It looked as crazy as ever, and the cars were driving through and almost hitting people and stuff. It was pretty amazing. But next time I go, I'll definitely do that trip.
Cool. Final thoughts?
That's pretty much my trip. You know, I think it's, you know, I forgot like how, I forgot about the flora and fauna, how like everything is very similar everywhere you go. Like the, you know, it sounds like
Control V.
It kind of like a criticism that, like, you know, people have, I think, when they go visit, you know, like when they see the forests or they see like the mountains and stuff, it can seem like everywhere you go, it's kind of similar, you know, in appearance. I think that I had forgotten about that. And so I was kind of surprised by like how I went in the fall.
That's particularly true
so,
in the suburbs, though. Like, the living areas, you know, are I mean, it's very convenient because it's so planned out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you get in a city, I mean, that's the whole reason we always did Hongdae, right? It was like a very unique take. Yeah. But I think even in Seoul in general, if you go to Myeongdong or Gangnam, you go to like the big areas, they have their distinct feel, you know? But I think, yeah, when you're out in the living areas, I mean, I could be in Ilsan or I could be in Myeongdong and I wouldn't know, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was one of those things that I had kind of forgotten about. And then to see all the buildings and all everything that's been
built. Did you go back to your old like apartment?
Yeah. I walked by the old apartment and it's the same. Yeah. It just looks like a little older, you know, like 5 years more worn, you know. And then we went to a new city that was just built and is being built. I'm not going to be able to remember the name.
Friendly? Like that was the thing for me.
I
was there like, for say, 5 days. And 4 days in, I was like, man, maybe I just don't have it anymore. Or like, no one's chatting me up anymore. Like, you used to always just have friends everywhere you went in Korea. And then, like, the last day, maybe some people heard me saying that. And, like, two or three people did the stop and chat. But, yeah, it took me, like, 5 or 6 days to get it.
I will say none. Zero this time. Like, the people that we did interact with were very friendly, very kind, you know, very helpful, you know, like if we were kind of turned around or something, somebody came over to help us. But the whole never like coming over and hanging out and like, oh, where are you from? And stuff like that. I think we only had maybe one old guy just briefly come in and say hello to us. Mm-hmm. And then we had kids. Like some kids thought it was funny to use whatever English they knew, like around us. So they were just like speaking really loudly and then waving at us when they were far away, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you've ever been to Korea, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
It's a sign of them just getting more comfortable with English and foreigners that it's like not exotic anymore. You know? Yeah. Which is like Japan. Yeah. I mean, Japan, you don't get people don't really bat an eye.
And when we were there, like, and I was living in Suji, I mean, we were kind of like the one of like few foreigners, right?
Yeah, sure.
Now it's a little more common to see foreigners walking around. Mm. But even where I was, there weren't very many, you know, it was still almost only us in most places. It was really cool. I went into a bunch of department stores and they are expanding. They have a lot of restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about the Pokeballs. What is it? Pokeballs? Pokeballs. There was a huge restaurant that I saw in, where was it? It was Technoland. What's the name of that area where all the Korean video game companies are? It's in Bundang. It's Pongyo. I went to Pongyo, and in Pongyo, it's the techno land, and they had great Wi-Fi, you know, like in the city, you know, I could just get free Wi-Fi in the city. But the department store there was a department store, and I went in there, and it was amazing. Like
Chris goes on. Was it Shinsegae?
Yeah.
Like is the best department store in the world.
Yeah. Oh, no, you know what? It's Daimaru, I believe.
They don't have Daimaru.
Isn't?
That's no. Japan is only.
No. Daewa, maybe?
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, it was one of the big department stores. If you go into Pongyo, you kind of can't miss it. It's like a huge department store. But it was incredible. And like the underground shopping area, like the food court and stuff was amazing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, real cool. You know, I had a good time going back.
Do you want to go back and like... a few years, or you feel like you've done it?
Definitely.
Left wanting more kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to try to go back more often. One, to see our friends who, you know, it was really awesome to see them. And that was special, you know, like I really formed a strong bond with those people.
Mm.
And so, you know, I do want to keep those relationships, you know, around. So I do want to see them more often. So that's one reason to go back. And then too, there's still more to explore and there's still more to see. And I did feel like, you know, things have changed enough to keep me interested and things are still the same to make me feel comfortable. So, it was a really great time. Yeah.
For sure. All right. Let's take a break and we'll come back with an update on... Thank you.
And we've been found.
Yeah. We'll come back with an update on moving in to the house.
And
we're back.
And we recorded an episode a while back called Moving in Japan. And it was before I ended up moving. And we talked about the trials and tribulations of real estate and moving. But I just kind of want to give a little bit of update now that the process is done and complete.
Yeah, and now you're in a beautiful home, and we can record recording here, which is awesome, in Casa de...
Suma Castle.
This is Sumajo.
It's quite an interesting experience how you can live in the same country, I would say, and I don't feel like I'm in Japan, because my mindset of what Japan is living in an apartment, a smaller space. Japanese friends' houses we go to, you know, are even smaller oftentimes. So a lot of our friends live in the city, but yeah, I honestly feel more... I mean, for me, the only Western country I have to compare it to is the States, but it reminds me of kind of being in America a little bit. I mean, just to have, like... It's a super small yard. It's like a garden more than a yard, but even to have a yard, I have to, like, maintain. I have, like, a hose. It's just funny, like, these little small things you have as, like, icons in your mind of what it means, but, yeah, to have a hose or just brush down dirty things or just to have a lot of space where, like, you guys can come over now and... When one person's up in the house, it doesn't mean everyone's up.
Yeah.
You have two bathrooms, and it, I didn't feel like I was claustrophobic before. I didn't feel unhappy in any way. But as soon as I kind of moved in here, I was like, oh man, I think the small space of that old place was really weighing down on me. And like, unhappy is a bit strong, but I think I was like kind of pent up. I haven't had a bad day. I think we've lived here for like 50 days now, 40 days. You know, there's been things that should have been a bad day, but I'm just like, whatever. I'm going home in my big house, in my record room, like laying around. Like,
yeah.
I feel so. It's a perfect blend of like a more Western lifestyle in Japan.
It's kind of like you don't know what you have. You know, you don't know what you got until it's gone or something. But you also don't know what you're missing if you don't. You know, you don't try it, right?
Like, it's different for everyone. Like, I mean, before we had a child, I would come here and be like, this is cool, but it's like a waste of space. But yeah, I think I was just personally really in need of more space when you have a family. Living that apartment lifestyles wasn't good for me, you know, being cramped up. But cause I remember like when Liz and I first moved into the apartment, we loved the intimacy of it. And we're like, this is awesome. Like, you don't have to see each other all the time, but I can just yell it like to you. I never have to like... I can hear, you know, we're texting each other in the house and calling on the phone. That feels a little bit ridiculous sometimes, but so the biggest thing is just, yeah, like a lifestyle change, you know, that it's funny how Japan's a deep country where there's like this suburban lifestyle where everyone has a car and a yard, and then there's like this apartment lifestyle, which is you don't really know the neighbors as well, and people don't have cars, and you can't see certain parts of Japan without a car. We don't have a car, but, you know, it's kind of like give a mouse a cookie. Like, now that I'm living here.
Now you're thinking about getting a car.
We're the only ones in the neighborhood who don't have a car.
Yeah. Start driving to the supermarket.
That's another story. But I mentioned, like, the neighbor thing, too. Yeah, that's definitely, you know, we did the neighbor gift thing, which I never did before. We know all the neighbors. They come by and say hi. And there's the neighborhood kids. And... Yeah, if you're going to have a family, I think it's definitely the right thing. I would say, yeah, if you're single or you don't have kids, it's definitely nice, but it might not be what you're looking for. But yeah, I'm just shocked at like the layers of Japan. And I always used to say you go to these parts of Japan where everyone has a car and it feels much more Western. And that's kind of a part of Japan that I don't really know a lot about. But I'm starting to see that a little bit more. And yeah, it feels good for someone in their 30s or 40s.
Are there any big differences that you notice other than space? I mean, your home is, you have way more, you know, more room. I think three more rooms than
we
had
before.
We went
from what was called 3LDK, which means living, dining, kitchen, three rooms, to this is a 6LDK officially. So yeah, I guess almost double the space. This is a lot more storage too on top of that.
Yeah, that's besides amazing.
The space, I don't know, it's like colder. It's going to cost a lot. Like electricity is pretty expensive here. So I'm kind of worried to see the winter bills. It's not quite that cold yet.
Yeah.
Those kind of things scare me a little bit. You know, the garbage systems are a little bit different. There's some pretty boring details, but the other major thing, just one other thing I kind of wanted to update on was like the actual moving in, you know?
Yeah, we talked about it. Like you putting things in the boxes and then the different color tape that goes on the boxes.
I think you came out here like the next week and to me, the way it looks now, a month and a half in and 2 or 3 days after, like, it was just so easy to get the house looking how we wanted it to look again, because everything's just right in the right room for you. They even set up a lot of the stuff for you. So some of the furniture they have to take apart to get in, and they build it right back up, you know?
Yeah.
One thing we didn't realize was going to be a problem until we came in. The moving day, it was like, oh man, we have an American king size bed, but Japanese houses aren't made, you know, to transport those. So it's like, how are they going to get that in? Should we have told them ahead of time? We were kind of freaking out.
Yeah. I remember you telling
like
me about
the
that.
The stairwell, yeah. You know, is just not built. Like, the clearance level is just never going to work. So they actually used a pulley system, manual pulley system with humans, not like a machine, to get it up through like the bedroom window. And my wife, actually, she was here. Just, they make someone be home. They don't, you know, you don't have to help at all, but they just want someone there, I guess, for like responsibility. So she took off work that day, and she actually, like, they were struggling to get it up there.
Wow.
And Japan isn't always the most progressive place in the world, so we were kind of surprised that, I think there was 3 movers, and 2 of them were girls, and they were, like, on the smaller side, more petite side, you know?
Yeah.
And we thought that was pretty interesting, that in a country where, like, you don't see a lot of subway drivers, there's women or taxi drivers, there's certain jobs that are, like, men's jobs here still.
Yeah.
To see the majority of the people moving our furniture were females.
It's kind of funny that you mentioned that, because I was thinking about that recently. There seems to be a bigger push to, like, promote those kind of jobs, like, like labor jobs for women, because I remember last time I was in Tokyo, there were posters all over this one construction site, and it was advertising, like, the women that are working at the construction site, and it had, like, posters of them working on the, and it maybe the poster also talked about, it looked like they had, like, a place where you could call, you know, for, to, you know,
apply.
Yeah, apply or something, but, maybe it was about, like, you know, workforce, like, equality or something like that, too. Well, it might have been advertisement.
Abe had this big womanomics campaign, but it seemed like it didn't really work, or the impact wasn't really felt.
But
so this would be, like, the most extreme version of that. I'm surprised that you're feeling that, or we felt that, you know, at least once.
Yeah, I've been noticing a lot more police officers. And then on the rare occasions when I see, like, people in uniform, like military, it's been women.
Huh.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just kind of interesting to see that, like, these jobs
evidence,
that, well, I mean, I think just Japan is stereotyped as being so far behind, and, like, you know.
I think it stands out more, too, when you do see them, because you don't see it or you don't expect it, maybe, too, you know, if that makes sense.
Maybe, but, like, back home, you know, we have a lot of women police officers and firefighters and stuff, you know. So, I mean, for me, it didn't feel, maybe coming from California, it's more common, you know, to have, like, a more diverse, you know.
I would never, my point is, like, because I've lived here for a while, maybe I'm becoming Japanese in that way. Like, when I see it, I'm like, oh, yeah, they do exist. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if it's, like, a weird effect. But, yeah, and anyway, that was pretty interesting to see all that happen, but I will say that a couple of the things were scratched that they moved in. I had, like, this cabinet, and it had, like, a, you know, almost like a foot long kind of big scratch on it. And I did think, you know, should I say something or not? And I don't know. I think I hold everything in Japan to, like, a really, really high standard, you know?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think we got a pretty good price for what it was, and they seemed to work really hard. And I don't know. I'm the kind of person that felt I kind of wanted to complain. I was upset about it for, like, a day. And then I was like, well, I'm not gonna, what are they gonna do, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Is it a hill worth dying on, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, that was my biggest complaint. Some of the stuff was a little scratched up, you know, dinged up. But it's like IKEA stuff, so I think it's super fragile and easy to scratch anyway. But, yeah, so moving process, moving in Japan, a little bit more expensive, but, you know, very, very easy. And the moving people really take care of you, depending on the service that you go for, but just mid-level. It's very good. And smooth sand.
And I'll say, you know, I mean, for me, this is still my home away from home. Yeah, you moved, you know. If you go back to, like, our early episodes, I've said before, you know, when I first came to Japan, David graciously allowed my wife and I to live at their apartment while we were looking for work and getting things sorted out. And so now I get to stay over at this big house. Now it's a big house, you know.
Do you agree it feels like different Japan, like, when you're here? Like, it has more of a Western feel to it?
Yeah, but, you know, it feels like your home still, you know. Like, I mean, it still has all the David trappings, all the Liz trappings, you know. Right, so, right, like, right. I mean, I feel like I'm, you know, it feels warm and welcoming, you know, like it did, and stylish. I mean, you guys have the best style and organizational skills.
Yes. Well, thank you, Matt.
Yeah.
So anyway,
that's how I feel. If you come to my apartment and it's all messed up all the time. Yeah.
Well, when you have more space, it's easy to.
Yeah, we're running out of room. It's definitely something that we've been considering, you know, moving. Mm-hmm. You know, because of a few things that are going on right now, we probably won't be moving, you know, in the near future. But yeah, I'm about ready to go. As soon as, like, you know, if a couple of things get sorted out, we're going to be doing it too. Mm-hmm. And where we move, you know, I don't know. Yeah. We might just get a slightly larger apartment and something with better storage. Mm. But I wouldn't be against getting a house.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
So I'm just renting. I would like to, if we, you know, hope this podcast keeps going for a while, maybe I'll update you in a couple of years and tell you about the buying process. But yeah, it's been good. In the last month, we've had an eventful month going to Korea, moving home. Yeah. We'll see what we have in the future to update you guys with. We usually do a summer update too. So it's November right now. And yeah, we'll probably come back in summer, our biannual life update in Japan.
That sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So this is
what?
The song of our show.
You know what? The song of the show, I'm going to go back to Korea for this one.
Uh-oh.
Why don't I play some, why don't we do some Soulscape?
Soulscape, yeah.
Yeah, so DJ Soulscape, he's one of my favorite DJs, and he's done a couple of mixtapes called The Sounds of Soul. Yeah. I'm sure you could find them out there if you're clever. Yeah,
in the Korean underground.
Yeah, probably the biggest guy. He's still touring. He comes to Japan every so often. I've seen him out here, actually. I saw him in Osaka. And he was still as cool as ever, still spinning vinyl.
Korean,
you know,
DJ tonight as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
Tiger Disco.
Yeah,
and he's a real different. I mean, he's a disco DJ. He dresses up in like old suits and stuff. And,
yeah, smoking a cigarette.
He's really small. I mean, when I look at him online, he's got like 30 people in the crowd. So I can't believe he's coming all the way to Japan. I feel like it's gonna be a super small show.
Yeah, but I'm excited because both you and I are aware of like the club that he spins at in Seoul. And actually, it was a place I wanted to go to, but just because of our limited schedule and the things we wanted to do.
It's called like Mongukwan. It's like the first club in Hongdae.
Yeah, and they have a
park.
They have a night called Midnight in Tokyo.
Yes.
And you can follow them on Instagram. Yeah, and they
Tiger
have
Disco and Midnight to Tokyo are both there. And they're, I mean, that's what inspired me. I don't really know a ton about this guy.
Yeah.
I just watch those parties and I want to be there. So I can't believe they're coming in our hood.
Yeah, it's probably the last place in Korea doing Japanese, like a Japanese Tokyo night, you know, which is crazy that their relationship is his... Digressed
slightly getting better in the last month or so.
In the last couple of weeks, there's been some talks and stuff that have improved, improved relations a little slightly bit, but they're always so strained, which is unfortunate because I love both places.
We love these,
you know,
places, yeah.
So, you know, let's hope that we can mend fences and all, you know, and enjoy both cultures together, you know.
That's right.
So, with that, you know, a little house cleaning. You can find us all over the internet at Japan 2.0. You can email us at Japan 2.0. You spell out point, and that's a zero at the end.
That's right.
At gmail.com. Mm. If you are submitting for our contest that we have going up until episode 100, please send your audio files and text written stories about Japan. Yep. There, we've gotten a couple of really good ones lately, and yeah, we're looking for a couple more.
Send it in. Your chances of winning will be high.
Yes,
we are maybe not as popular as you might think. yeah.
I think we have a lot of listeners. It's just, you know, people are shy or people don't necessarily want to put themselves out there, but.
Quality of our quantity. The ones we have are amazing.
Like, yeah.
I kind of wish it wasn't a random drawing because I like have some favorites already.
Episode 100 is going to be good. You guys are going to like it. So make sure that you send in your stories about coming to Japan, experiences you've had, adventures, whatever it is. Just Japanese stuff you have back home that you know has excited you or a friend that you've made.
Yeah,
your stories can be about anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. video games, comic books, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
And yeah, the song of the show is from Soulscape, so please enjoy.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Peace.